Welcome to Counterpressed on The Ringer and Spotify. I'm in the studio with Gilly Flatty and Jesse Parker Humphreys. Gilly, I got so many messages last week from people with secondhand dread about your lack of marathon training. So give us an update. What's the latest?
There's not been much change.
You've not been on a run yet?
Right, no, listen, Jesse, this was happened, yeah. So I went yesterday. I done obviously the West Ham Chelsea game, and then spoke to some of the guys down there, and they was having a panic attack basically that I've not trained. And so then this morning when I was on the way on the train,
I didn't.
I did a little Google, and I actually wrote on Google, "Can you complete a marathon on 1 month's training?" And up come an idiot's guide to training for a marathon in 1 month. So I've downloaded the training program.
The hard work starts now.
I'm going to complete 5K today. I'm adamant I'm going to do it, and I'm going to follow the program, and hopefully I survive.
Well, I mean, Chelsea might have done you a favour, because obviously they look like they will get a Champions League semi-final. And that then might you might it. Have work.
Well, Chelsea, listen, pull me through, please, because right now it's life or death.
You know, last
You're
week...
like, Emma Hayes, I need one last favour.
One last dance. The thing is, last week when we left the studio, Gilly, you looked in our eyes and you said, "I'm on my way to buy some trainers, guys. I'm doing it. And I said goodbye to you at Charing Cross. I said, "You're going to go get some trainers." I said, "Go to Oxford Street now." I said, "Yeah, you know what? I am going to go to Oxford Street now." What's the first thing I ask when you come in the building today? Gilly, did you get those trainers? Absolutely fucking not.
Where did you go?
I went home and then I had a cup of tea and that was it. I wasn't going back out again. But I am. Today, I'm going out shopping today. I'm going to treat myself to a new pair of trainers.
Are you
going
to do it? Do you want me to drag you to Oxford Street?
I don't want to be dragged nowhere, to be honest with you. But yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get some clobber. I'm going to get some new trainers and I'm doing the 1 month training program.
Also, the trainers, I think, are crucial, because the biggest thing I've learned about running is the better I feel, like if I feel fit, like sexy fit, not fit.
Oh, sorry, I was confused which fit you meant there.
Then I do more
if
running.
If you think you look like a salt when you're running.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you're feeling yourself.
Nice shorts on, nice trainers on, nice vest on.
You're feeling yourself.
Love arm sleeves. Think I look great with arm sleeves on.
Wow, okay.
So okay.
That's what you need.
All the gear, no idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, perfect. And I did remind Gilly this morning, is actually one of the most famous people to call an ambulance at the marathon was Bermondsey's own Jade Goody. So if it does happen, you're up there with some legends.
Well, you can follow her.
Also from Bermondsey.
Yeah, exactly.
Bermondsey's
two most famous daughters. Yes.
Probably, actually.
St. John's Ambulance, you just better be on standby, mate. I need to wear one of them things around my neck, you know, like the buzzers where I can just press them straight away. And find me, please.
Also, Gilly said earlier, when we were having a cup of tea before the show, she goes, "Maybe I should just get some Heelys and I can just roll my way to the finish line." I said, "I don't know, you get away with that.
Just move my arms and pretend I'm running. Chuck a bit of water on my face. I'm sweating. And I can Heely my way there."
I would love the controversy if that was exposed.
Gilly Flatty caught with Heelys at the London Marathon. Okay, well, we will be tracking your progress. We will be checking in. Even if you're not on, we will be messaging to find out what the latest is. And Gilly, come on.
I'm doing 5K today, I promise.
Okay, I mean, it might not matter by Thursday morning, because we'll see if Chelsea do it and
you get
some work.
Get the work as well. Yeah. So.
Five Live, come on, do the funniest thing possible and don't book Gilly.
Jenna Scalacci's really up for it.
Anyway, on today's show, we've got a lot of football to talk about, because we had some big games over the weekend. It was Women's Football Weekend. We've got the Manchester Derby at the Etihad, West Ham Chelsea, which was a really interesting game in daggers, and Aston Villa Arsenal to finish it all. Another delayed kickoff at Villa Park. So let's get into it after this. Okay, starting with the Manchester Derby. Wow. Manchester United love losing 3-1. And it's funny, because I did see a tweet on our shout out for questions, an Arsenal fan asking if Flo could have the same head loss about United that she had about Arsenal last week. And don't you worry, because wow, Manchester United. I talked about Arsenal's performance at Stamford Bridge being pathetic. I would say Manchester United's entire season has been pretty tragic, especially in these big games. So you lose 3-1 to City at Old Trafford in your big Old Trafford game. You lose 3-1 at the Etihad in the derby. You lose 3-1 to Chelsea. You lose 3-1 to Arsenal. So all of those big games, done. You throw away that lead at Arsenal at home as well. And I think what is probably the most bleak for Manchester United fans is the way that the team has well and truly crumbled in all of these scenarios. That backbone, that belief, and you see it throughout the season, and it would, right, when you keep losing games, also when in a lot of the time you're having good moments, you're playing well, and then that first goal goes in and they just completely collapse. And I think that the patterns of that, and it will only get worse as the season goes on because that belief just disappears. And it just is astounding how bad they've been this season and the regression in that team. We talked so much about those two key players and Russo and Batchelor leaving, fine. But the money that they've spent and the performances they've put in, the lack of leadership, the defence has been atrocious. It's bleak, man. And like, we'll talk about City and, you know, the way that they've performed this second half of the season, fine. But the fact is, United were really good for the first sort of 20 minutes or so, were on top, as they have been in other moments this season. And then Jess Park gets that opening goal with some atrocious defending. And then same again for the second. It's like, what's the point? What is the
flabbergasted
point?
Your noggin is boiled.
My noggin is boiled
right now.
Because I'm just like,
see,
man, it's bleak.
I can't even boil my noggin over this because I'm just like, is anyone surprised?
I'm surprised they fell this badly. I never thought they were going to be in contention for the league. No way. And I thought they would drop off. And
I don't mean surprised like from the start of the season. I mean like surprised about what happened on Saturday.
Oh, okay. No. Not necessarily Saturday, but I'm talking about the overarching season.
I was surprised they looked so good
in
the
first bit. No, but then we've seen it at the Emirates as well. It's like, you are pressing well, and they lasted more than 3 minutes, which is what they pressed for basically at the Emirates. They do a good like 20 minutes, half an hour here. Actually, I think tactically, offensively, Skinner kind of lined up pretty well in the way that he got those dominant moments out wide, pressed out wide, winning those physical battles, especially playing Jay-Z out wide and having Paris through the middle. I think that worked pretty well. Garcia is very fit and athletic, so she's always good in those sorts of moments and areas. Fact is, they miss a ton of chances, and then the defence is a complete mess. So it's kind of like that front three, yes, they miss good chances, and Jay-Z's ability to not score goals is obviously extremely frustrating. But I still think the lack of control in midfield and the defence just massively lets them down, you know, for the last how many games?
Yeah, I think they did start well. And I agree. I really liked the right-hand side. I thought Rivière looked really good.
She was pushing so high as well.
And I think, actually, you know, Jacy, to be fair from her, got more out of Leila Wahabi than a lot of other wingers have got this so far this season. But it does feel like they don't have that quality still. I know Nikita Paris has had good moments in front of goal this year. I'm still not convinced with Lucia Garcia, and I'm surprised that she gets picked ahead of Melvin Mallard, who I think when I've watched her this season has not always been on form, but has had those moments of quality from an elite player that I don't think you necessarily see from those other three. Ella Toon, I thought, struggled as she has blown sort of hot and cold throughout this season. But yeah, I think the problem is that as soon as they concede, it's just, they just totally crumble in that defensive sense. And obviously they can feel hard done by, I think, by the goal that went in. But it's harder to, you know, I was thinking it in the context of sort of the goal West Ham didn't get given. I think it's easier for Raheem Skinner to come out afterwards and say, you know, it's not good enough, because West Ham would have been 1-1 at that point. They were playing really well. Chelsea don't score again until the 88th minute. United's problem is, yeah, the first goal shouldn't have counted. But you then concede two more very quickly. And it is interesting. It's like as soon as they reset, you know, you saw it after the first goal, they have another one that's then also ruled out for offside. then City score again. And then when they come out for the second half again, it's like 60 seconds. And I'm like, that just feels like a, I don't know, concentration or belief.
The backbone just seems to have been completely evaporated. And I think a lot of it is belief, because of when you're, and Jilly, you'll be able to speak to this so much as a player, like when you keep losing those games and you almost know the inevitable and what's around the corner. And that's what's so, I think, huge about the way that the team has fallen, is that last season they came back in big games late on. And it became something that we could almost rely on them doing, especially think about that incredible turnaround of the Emirates, which felt like a seminal moment for them. And now it's like, actually, you can never rely on them. Once the first goal goes in, it's a complete collapse.
Yeah, and I think they play a lot like individuals. And I think the moment a goal goes in, you see him finger pointing and arms going up in the air. And even like, obviously, that goal... Obviously, Bunny Shaw's offside, coming back from an offside position. But the difference between that one and the one at West Ham, right? Obviously, she wasn't offside anyway at West Ham, but it was the ball dropped to her, bang. She was onside, goal, yeah? Bunny Shaw comes back off an offside position. There's so much still that happens after that that you don't deal with defensively. And then I just feel like United, like, not that they're whingers, yeah? I just feel like that every time, like, that's straight away...
They feel sorry for themselves,
yeah,
that's
straight
it.
Away, it's, oh, well, that goal shouldn't have counted, yeah? Right, it shouldn't have counted, but defending afterwards was absolutely diabolical, yeah? It was poor, and that just seems, oh, well, that if that goal don't go in or whatever, then it could be a different game, but obviously they concede near enough straight after anyway. So it's like... If, just for me, they just look like individuals. Katie Zellum got absolutely bullied in the midfield. And I think if you're playing in midfield there, you need someone, especially when I think about United, and obviously I'm thinking more, say, the men's side of it. You think of the Roy Keane that you had in there, getting their foot stuck in and be that nasty player. And I don't think there's necessarily loads of them in the women's game anyway, but I just feel like with United, in my opinion, there's a few players there that are not good enough. They're not good enough to be challenging for the WSL, to be pushing teams into the Champions League, in my opinion. And I just feel like the recruitment side of it needs to be so much better.
I also think, you know, we touched on this maybe last week in that Champions League conversation, but I do think last season we saw Manchester United, for some of those players, pushing to their max level. And it's really hard to repeat that with, you know, all due respect to Millie Turner and Hannah Blundell, but I think they've kind of, I don't see them being able to level up much more. And I think that consistency is really hard to deliver season on season and match the depth and strength that certainly City and Chelsea have, where you look at those squads and there are players that just can deliver on a more consistent level, and Manchester United just can't match that.
Well, I think, again, that comes back to the recruitment piece, whereby it's almost like United were like, okay, these players are good. They've done a good job for us. It's hard to argue that that wasn't the case last year. So therefore, we don't need to bring in anyone almost to compete with them. It's like you're bringing in like B players, and so that's why you go and get Gemma Evans. Whereas you look at like what Chelsea do, and it doesn't really matter whether you're amazing or not. If there's a, like, Chelsea will always just go for the best players available in the positions, and then it's like the players who were there before, you sink or you swim. And kind of what's the irony with Hannah Blundell is that's what happened to her at Chelsea. She sank because they got better players in. But then she's at United, and it's like, in that game, like, she did really, really struggle. And I'm just always like...
And she's always struggled when she's played Chelsea again in those games as well.
Yeah, it's no shade to her. Like, she is, in my opinion, a great squad player. Like, I think she can be really, really dependable in certain moments. But I just don't think she's the kind of player who you're like, that's my nail down left back. And like, that's just one example, but I think you can say that about plenty of players in the United team, where you're like, Ella Toon's probably another good example, who I really like. Ella Toon, I think she drifts in and out of games, but I think she's still got those moments of quality, and I don't think you can ignore what she's done for England in big games. But again, I think she's a player who would probably benefit from having someone better for her to be fighting with for a place. Instead, she's United's star player, and she's not at that level. She's not like a Champions League level star player. Like, she's good, and occasionally she's great, but I think it all like ties together, where you're like, but why are your stars like so often mediocre?
Or so often other people's sloppy seconds as well. And I think that's why, you know, your recruitment often sometimes has to be, if you're a team pushing for the top four or the top three or the title, who are the fringe players elsewhere that, like you say, we can top up? But they're almost, they're putting those players in starting positions and thinking, oh, can they match the level that they maybe would be able to deliver in the first team that they just dropped out of? And with someone like Maria Torresdotter, no, that certainly wasn't going to be the case. And now she's obviously dropped lower down the table. But I think you can look at that, other players who have come from abroad as well in squads that they weren't making the cut in or were surplus for requirements and then are expected to hold the team together when they weren't necessarily delivering that. And there's a reason that they, you know, dropped out, like Blundell. Let's talk about City, though, because they have managed to bring, you know, important consistency across this back end of the season. And we know that they're good at putting together these runs. And I don't think, like you say, Jesse, many people expected there to be a big surprise with this result. But I do think it was interesting, and it was a kind of a talking point afterwards around Chloe Kelly not starting again. We've seen her drop out of the starting lineup for a few weeks now. And, you know, she has drifted a little bit in games recently. And I think, you know, that drop was certainly probably justified in some sense. But then it was a little bit confusing to see Mary Fowler start out wide. She's not really a winger. You know, she plays a lot better centrally and she can play in a lot of different positions centrally. And I did think, you know, City, they didn't actually have to necessarily work that hard for this. And Jess Park has been so good that it's almost like, you know, give her an inch and she'll take a mile at the moment. But there was a couple of interesting decisions where I thought a better team would have got the better of City on Saturday.
In terms of like selection or?
Well, I think defensively, and also I think that, you know, they didn't really feel like they were in the game for large parts of that first half. And then they get the goal and obviously the whole situation flips. But I was a bit intrigued by mainly starting Fowler out wide. I just think that kind of cut off a lot of that right-hand side opportunity.
I think the Fowler thing is a little bit like she's came in, Kelly was dropped, Kelly was rubbish against Chelsea in the Conte Cup, she ends up getting dropped, Fowler comes in,
she scores
against Spurs in the FA Cup, even though they lose, she scores against Brighton. It's kind of like a winner stays on. And I think what was interesting is Taylor was talking about it, was asked about it afterwards and was sort of saying, you know, Mary's a good player, we want to play her, blah, blah, blah. But I think what was interesting is he then says, regardless, the levels have to be good. This is in reference to Kelly. And that's the same for all of the players. And I think Jess is probably a case in point with that one. Her attitude and her enthusiasm and her level of training performance was very good, whether she played or not. I think that's a big plus for her. And I felt like that was
pointed.
More about Chloe Kelly, maybe, than Jess Park.
Well, put some respect on West London finest name, Gareth Taylor.
No, but I do think with Chloe Kelly, obviously, in the Brighton game, obviously, she come on. And I think it is a sign of frustration, but she come on a couple of times. She tried to get the ball in. Her arms were thrown up in the air. And what annoyed me in that game, is because they should have kept a clean sheet against Brighton, right? They're talking about goal difference. Everyone's banging on about a goal difference.
They should have kept a clean sheet in this game as well.
Right? But in the Brighton game, he made however many changes down that right-hand side. You had Lana Kenny come in, Esme Morgan, Chloe Kelly, all on that right-hand side. They give away a sloppy free kick. Chloe Kelly is nowhere to be seen, completely switched off. They play it quick. Esme Morgan and Lana Kenny are completely out of position as well. And then they end up conceding the goal. And it was, what I said was, is that if Chloe Kelly, she's come on, she needs to switch on. All right, you might be fuming, that you're not playing. Every player who don't start or gets dropped is fuming. But when you come on, you use that as a point to prove. Go and tear it up and have the best attitude. And I think in reference to what his comments are, that you don't see what players are like in training. Like, none of us get to see that. So if that is a case of an attitude thing or a case of you're not playing, rather than there being certain players who think, I'm going to do everything I possibly can to get back in starting 11 or not give the manager any reason to moan about something that I can possibly control, then you do the opposite and it's sort of then you're opening yourself up to not get back into it. And I did say, I think she was going to start against United. I thought naturally you would play her. But I think if you got Fowler as well, who she seems like a player where she'll do what any job she's asked to do, then it's one of those cases where it doesn't matter who your name is, how big of a star you are, ultimately you're going to play the players who are going to graft and who are going to work hard.
Yeah, and I guess Fowler as well, she's been out, in and out of the team a lot. So it's like once you get a starting space, she's going to be desperate to hold on to it. And she's done that with the goals, but I think it's hard for her when she maybe gets set up positionally in a place where she's not going to necessarily excel. But, you know, she's still, it's not like she played badly, but I always felt it was an interesting position, an interesting tactical decision where you think the obvious choice, especially as United are without Galton, you know, that like the matchup I think is going to be in their favour. Anyway.
But I think also, though, that this whole conversation goes back to what we were just saying about United, is that I don't love Fowler on the wing, but she's clearly an incredibly talented player. And Taylor has the opportunity to drop Kelly and hopefully push her to be better and do more in a way that I don't think United have. And that feels like that almost sums up the difference between the two teams, because we can sit here and say, is a Kelly a better right winger on ability than Mary Fowler? Yes, I think that's true. Regardless of who's maybe the better player, I think it's fair to say that Kelly's better on the wing. But he cannot play her and still absolutely smash them whilst like getting to prove a point to her as a player.
And that's what I think shows how lowly Manchester United are. You've got non-wingers being thrown in just for the lols. It's an important moment, like you say, though, for Chloe Kelly to fight back for her place, because managers will do that. They'll make a point, they'll send a message, and competition for places is a massive important part of that. Jess Park, though, talk about someone who has grabbed her chance with both hands. What's really interesting is that when she made her name in the past and first came into that City side a few seasons ago, and I remember her getting her first start at Kings Meadow against Chelsea early on in that season.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. That was so random.
Yeah,
everyone
do you
was
remember?
Like, what is he doing?
I was like, what the hell
didn't
is going
end well.
On? No, and she'd only played in that team that entire season as a winger. Then you know, Serena Wiegman starts to use her more centrally. Everton play her like everywhere because she's versatile and she was one of their better players, which is what they always do with their loanees. They're like, play them anywhere. And then now she's come in for Jill Roard, playing, you know, dropping inside and playing more of a 10 role. And she is living her best life. Everything she touches turns to gold. And she's still only 22, but it is that case in point of, like, you know, someone really taking their chance, and she's City's best player right now, like most consistent, performing so well.
Yeah, and I think it's worked because it's been more about assessing what Jill Roard offered City than about the position. And I do think obviously we'll come on to Chelsea in a bit and Aggie Beaver-Jones maybe. And it's funny because they were both at Everton, obviously, last season. But I do think we're seeing with sort of the academy players who are coming through now, they feel very modern academy trained, where you can play in these multiple positions. You know, I think if you look also, for example, like Esme Morgan, someone who's learned to play all the way across the back line. And I think that's what allows Park to sort of end up wherever she wants. But it's that contributions in terms of ball winning, progression, and then being a box presence. And I know these was only her first goals for City in the WSL, but we've seen it even, for example, the assist in the Chelsea game, and the assist she gets there. Again, it's very like Roard in that it's forward, she's a forward thinking player. When she gets the ball, she wants to drive. And I think that's her natural winger instinct, but it really suits City, especially in the way that Bunny Shaw likes to drop off sometimes, that pulls the defenders out of position, and that creates the space. But yeah, she's been fantastic. And I find it so funny because I think what I'm like loath to praise is Taylor on it, because she's only doing this because of the injury.
Yeah, like would she have got this chance? Probably not.
But she was this player before January too. I think that's like, obviously, yeah, you've got to take the opportunities that come your way. But I do think, again, this is interesting when we think about City going forward as a team, and when they will be in the Champions League next season and you do have to rotate more, you know, what does that look like? Okay, we've seen sort of Kelly drop for Fowler. That's kind of rotation. But I think that's going to be a really interesting development to see, because it annoys me that we're seeing, like, it annoys me in a sense that Park's bailing out Taylor, given I feel like he's not given her a huge amount of respect in her time at the club.
Well, what we would have seen probably the rest of this season is her coming in for someone like Kelly. She would have played out wide probably in those situations as the change of personnel if that injury hadn't have happened. She probably wouldn't have got this chance to play in that position. We've had a question from Baby of Leisure. Great name. Around that 10 position for England. And we've kind of covered two of the names that have been mentioned. But they've asked, where are Toon, Park, Kirby and Clinton in the England pecking order? And where do you think they should be, Gilly? So if you're thinking about, let's say, Lauren James wasn't playing 10.
I feel like that person's missed out the number one person who I picked to play number 10.
Let's say Lauren James isn't involved in that conversation. Toon, Park, Kirby and Clinton. So forget James. Who would you put as that next best 10 right now for England?
I mean, I love Fran Kirby. I really do. I just think she just offers so much. But in regards to like form now, for me, I'd go Park. I think she's... What I like about her is like sometimes when you play with midfielders, I feel like... She knows her job is to be front-footed. Yeah, she knows that is her responsibility. And sometimes when you play midfielders and they have that hesitation, especially if you're a pressing team, sometimes that 10 role, sometimes they can go walkabouts or they can be still too far away from the six. Where I feel like she thinks, I don't care who you are, whether you're Kim Little, whether you're Erin Cuthbert, Katie Zellum, whoever it is, I'm going to literally be around you. And there's no fault in it. Having a player like that in there just sets the tempo for everyone else, because then the back line can then go, we can go as well because she's going. So for me, yeah, I think on form, as much as I love Fran, I feel like I'm so loyal to Fran that she will be, Park has to be number one.
Jesse? Right now. Say it right now and like performances rather than necessarily the season.
I'm not thinking, I'd still be tempted to say Clinton, I think. I'd prefer her. I do really like Jess Park, and I think on the past like three games, sure, you put Park in there, like coming off like how she's played over the past month. I still think in terms of like consistency over the season, I still prefer Grace Clinton right now, but it's pretty close between. I'm like, look, it's England are very lucky. I'm not going to be like, oh, if Jess Park's playing, they're probably like level. I just like Grace Clinton's physicality. That's probably where I'd just say she has the edge maybe over Park still for me.
Yeah, and I feel like, and this isn't a discredit to Park, but Clinton plays like someone well above her age. Like, she's just so composed on the pitch. She reads the game so well. Her understanding is so good, and it's well beyond what her age. So I think that's also so impressive. Not that Jess Park can't do that, but she feels more accustomed in that position, more experienced than Jess Park. But like you say, I think it's incredible to think of the depth in that position.
Well, like, what's good is when you're talking about all of those 10s, and you know, we're taking LJ out of the conversation as well there, is that you can say for all of them that they can go and play elsewhere. They can go and play in the wing.
Wide, yeah.
We've seen Clinton play a little bit deeper for England as well. There are a lot of options in there. It does make me worry for Ella Toon, because I'm like, oh dear.
I know, and I think she will still, like you say, get picked based on her amazing performances and goals for England at major tournaments. And she's got credit in the bank. But I do think she needs to, I think, get some confidence back. She seems to be lacking a lot of confidence, and probably most of that United team would, because it's been a shit season. So I'm not surprised. And she's been so loyal to that team that I feel like she needs to get a bit more payback, I think, from them for her loyalty.
And I don't think it's any surprise that Ella Toon plays better under a better manager, like, basically.
Yeah. Okay. So City were briefly top. And then the results flipped back. But they had a Saturday night at the top of the table. And the goal difference is still two goals. It was two goals, wasn't it, ahead of the weekend? So they've just levelled out again. But there was one moment where it was potentially looking a little bit spicy. So let's get into that next. Chelsea made hard work of that West Ham game at Dagenham. We were all there. I enjoyed a pot noodle. Gilly on comms, Jesse in the stand, me in the with the ultras, West Ham ultras under the gantry in the North Terrace. It was a very nice sunny evening at the Chigwell Construction Stadium. I really enjoyed it. And West Ham played really, really well. But my God, did they waste some good chances. And they were unfortunate because I don't want to get into too much ref discourse, but across the entire Women's Football Weekend, hey, WSL Heritage Month, of course Women's Football Weekend would have had terrible officiating. That is WSL Heritage. But we had some shocking refereeing across the weekend. And I don't want to get too much in the discourse because the same old question remains, make the officials better. So West Ham were unlucky with the goal that got disallowed, but they had Chelsea on the ropes, Gilly.
Yeah, well, I think even the start, like, they nearly, scored after, like,
10 seconds.
Yeah, and then it was literally like ping pong. And then Chelsea went down and bagged the goal. And I thought, hold on a minute, this is going to be, a high scoring game, to be honest with you. I felt the frustration for West Ham because I'm like, you had potentially the chance to really go in at halftime 3-1 up, really, because the goal should never have been disallowed because she was on the side. Kirsty Smith, she probably would have finished if she had her eyes open.
That,
do you know what I mean?
That like, chance was wild. I don't know how she missed it.
It's
no pressure on her at all.
All the time in the world.
Miss it, I think. Yeah. I literally think it's hard to miss it. Then you had a say who goes through, who was playing rugby or whatever it is, because there was weren't on target. And I just think, you can't afford, against a team like Chelsea, you cannot afford to miss those chances because you might get few and far between and you just, they're not even like small percentage chances. They are clear cut, banker to be goals.
Also, West Ham, it's not like they're a team that create a lot anyway. So that's probably one of their best games in terms of chances created. And then they just waste all of them.
I think Chelsea should thank Arsenal because West Ham used up their finishing luck in that game where they had two chances and scored the bow.
Hawa Sissoko should have been on the pitch to volley home one of those unreal chances.
I think they should have banged both in, to be fair.
But it was frustrating to watch.
Yeah, it was. And it was just because there was a... It's hard, obviously, because they're both my former clubs, but I just think there was a real chance there for West Ham to make a statement and to say, hold on a minute, we've beaten, they don't win many games at home, but we potentially would have beaten the top two of the top three teams in the league at home. And I just think like that's something they have to learn, West Ham, in regards to your recruitment side of it, whatever. If you're going to pay the money to bring players in, for example, Asai, then you make sure if they are forward. I mean, I think for me, Ueki had a brilliant game yesterday.
She was brilliant.
You know what I like about it as well, yeah, is because the way West Ham play, where they was getting a lot of joy down the right hand side for them, and the ball was coming up to her. She was so aware that Asai was so far out wide. Her flicking it on would have just literally run. The amount of times she got the ball down on her chest made it really difficult for Buchanan behind her, and just brought other players into it. I think Katrina Gori going off, I think, killed them a little bit as well because she was doing so much in the midfield. But for me, I just see it as such a chance wasted for West Ham to have made a big statement last night.
And I understand Ryan Skinner was understandably pissed off in the post-match because of the disallowed goal, and that really would have changed the game if it had been 1-1. And Chelsea made hard work of it. The problem was in the second half of that, West Ham just had no legs. They were exhausted for the last like half an hour. They just had nothing left to give. And then it was kind of like they ended up sitting deeper and deeper and deeper and just couldn't really get out of their own half. And then you end up with a situation where look at Chelsea's bench. It's like so stacked. Frank Kirby comes on. Katerina Macario comes on. Mara Ramirez comes on. It's like, you would be looking, if you're a West Ham player, like, please, I'm so tired. We gave everything. Cuthbert's goal was brilliant. And I think probably one that eased a lot of pressure and frustration on the Chelsea bench because they probably knew going into it was going to be hard and they were expecting this low block, but I don't think anyone would have thought it would have been that close and that tight. So it must have been like a big sigh of relief when that Cuthbert goal goes in. They feel like, okay, finally job done.
Yeah, and I mean, I think obviously Chelsea have played a lot of football and have a lot of football still to play, and I think to expect, you know, really high quality performances every week, well, every 3 days basically, is a very hard thing to do. I thought Hayes did well to switch things up at half time. I thought as soon as Chelsea switched to a back three, West Ham's chances like kind of dried up. There's the one where Ueki goes through on goal and she was also called offside, and maybe she wasn't, but it looked like Hampton had sort of managed to palm the ball away anyway. So I don't know whether she'd have actually had a good chance from that. And then, as you say, the subs come on, and I think it's just that those legs really helped. I thought Erin Cuthbert generally was immense as soon as she came on. I thought that that was the point where West Ham, it really felt like it was done. Like they just totally lost anything in the midfield. And I thought Loipots and Trankovic together just didn't really work. You could tell their positioning was off. They were ending up either too far away from the defence or too close to them. And it was just really like harming Chelsea's ball progression. I thought you could tell as well that LJ and Nusken just looked absolutely shattered. Like LJ was blowing. Like you could tell she was going, I felt like she was going back further back to get the ball just because she didn't want to be making runs. And I'm like, well, yeah, like you've played two really, really good games back to back, so I kind of can't criticize it. And Chelsea's bench was obviously good and they were able to bring players on, but this is kind of the first game that they've had some of those players back. You know, like Ramirez hasn't been available, Macario's been sort of on limited minutes. So, yeah, I think it was one of those ones where it's kind of like classic Chelsea. I think in any title race, you're going to have those games where you've just got to grind out the win. We saw it with City against Leicester like a couple of weeks ago, where they're like pushing and pushing until like the 70th minute and then they score two late goals there. It was just so weird to have. I know as soon as Aggie scored, I was like, oh, this game's going to be like bonkers.
Yeah, same.
And then it just sort of, it kind of fizzled out.
Yeah, it really did. And it's funny because we've said this a lot, but that is the Chelsea way over these last couple of years, is they sometimes won't play very well, but they will grind it out and they have a very good knack at doing that. And part of that is the squad that they've built, being able to perform at certain levels and the individual quality, meaning that sometimes when you're not playing that well, Erin Cuthbert can score a banger out of nowhere and bring you that breathing space. I think it's more frustrating for West Ham not to get anything from that game. Question from the CFCW social. If Counterpressed was a stadium, would it be the Chigwell Construction or the Poundland Bescot, and why? Or maybe neither. Maybe we're a different stadium.
I don't
stadium,
fancy but having our name being Poundland. Sorry.
No, I didn't. I wasn't sure about the Poundland Bescot.
Cheap,
when
do you know what I mean?
A bit
went.
Rude.
Yeah,
I've never been to the Poundland Bescot, actually. The pitch is terrible. I know that much, but
I don't like the commentary position either, because you're literally sitting right in front of family and friends. So they're literally behind you.
And you're slagging off their mates.
You try and whisper and you're like...
I had that a bit yesterday. I had the Chelsea press team sat beside me and I was like, when I was texting people, I was like, I don't want the press officers looking at
I also
turn your brightness down.
Yeah, exactly.
I love the Chigwell Construction Stadium, but my God, it takes a long time to get there. And the parking situation yesterday was chaos.
It takes ages to get out.
So if it was closer to me, it's an hour and a half drive.
It was an hour and a half drive from my house. That's
which
funny.
Which is ridiculous. Yeah. Other side of London and then the
coast. Zoomed up the M25.
And then I would maybe love it. But I'd say probably Counterpress Law would have us as the Chigwell Construction with the pot noodles, with the vibes. It's got to probably be Chigwell.
Yeah, I'm not having Poundland, sorry.
Can I be King's Meadow? I just feel like I am King's Meadow.
Over there, King's Meadow. Hey, it's got so, posh one in the building.
It's so,
so predictable.
I love Big Tree.
It's so predictable. It's boring.
I prefer Big Tree to
the posh canapes
noodle.
Over there. Do you know what I mean?
Prawn sandwich brigade at King's Meadow.
I wish I said prawn sandwich at King's Meadow. You're lucky if you get a hot dog.
No, there was a while when the press box, we were getting like sandwiches. I don't know if they're still doing that. It's been a while since I was in the press box there, but they were doing good
snacks. I think
snacks.
It's just like burger tokens now.
That's not
bad, maybe it's
though.
Sandwiches.
Burger token is good.
Remember.
Most places don't get anything. Let's talk about the other big game though on the telly, which was Aston Villa Arsenal. Kickoff delayed again. I cannot with that team. And look, we know stuff happens, and the sock incident was very much an issue caused by, part of the support staff and a big mistake. You can't account for issues with your coach and bad traffic and things like that. But fail to prepare to fail, my girlies, all right? Give yourself enough time. Like anyone that's worked in football knows that you go hours and hours and hours and hours ahead of when you need to be there. I certainly do.
Listen,
like I used to.
If Flo Lloyd Hughes is giving you a lift to a football match, guys, be prepared to be at her house at crack of dawn.
Yes.
Because this girl does not miss when it comes to. I was even surprised yesterday that I got to Chigwell before you.
Because
very Flo Lloyd Hughes.
But I didn't think it was going to take me that long. And then I sat at home, good, it's an hour and a half. Bloody hell, better get in the car.
That's exactly what the Arsenal coach driver did.
Honestly, I can't believe it. When I can't remember who it was put in the Counter Press group chat about that kickoff delay, and I thought, not again. Not again. Like, it must be so frustrating as a player when you're coming off quite an embarrassing situation with the Sox and you think, let's just get through this Villa game nice and easy, get a nice win to kind of boost our confidence again. And then you're sitting on the bus and you creep and the traffic's getting worse and worse and worse. You see
this
the Google Maps
go up. This
would
make me
up.
Feel worse than the Sox, I think. Like the anxiety of knowing you're going to be late.
Oh, I hate that
before. When you see the Google Maps going and you're just sat there. Streets are saying people saw them on the side of the motorway.
Yeah. It's
Have you ever got stuck in traffic on the way to a game, Julie?
No, it was the night before, actually, so it weren't too bad. But we had.
That's why you go up the night before.
Yeah, one of our kit man was involved in an accident in his van with a car, but the other car, like, I think they passed out when I was driving, so that was like, it was a really bad accident, but he got on the bus, but we was obviously in that traffic. But I addressed it was the bus problem,
yeah.
So they all had to go on one bus.
They had to change buses
or something.
Yeah.
I was thinking for Skydo because I just thought, like, that's
again.
Second week
again.
They've done Arsenal.
I did
game.
Like Izzy Christensen posting on Instagram that the coverage had been sponsored by Polyfiller. Because I was like, that is a lot of talking you got to do.
Honestly,
but the second week in a row.
I know, you'd be fuming. The chat that you have to just drivel on about to try and fill the time. And yeah, I think...
If the Sky team want to discuss what football stadium they would be, they can have that one for free for next
Well,
weekend.
Someone has asked, it was Sockgate last week, Coachgate this week. What Arsenal drama will be next, guys? What is going to be... There's got to be some kind of electrical issue at Meadow Park.
Generator goes,
yeah.
There's no floodlights.
Something like that. It's going to be some kind
Pitches
of...
Unfortunately,
itself.
The burger van setting on fire will never be topped. So
the fire of the burger van. Oh, that was a moment. But it just... And I think this team have been so up and down. And I think... When you are in that sort of fragile state, I think situations like this don't help, because if you are a little bit wobbly as a team in your performances and just in your approach and preparation, then that feeds into it. And then you see results and performance like they have. I don't think it's a crazy conclusion to draw that a Sox screw up will set you off and make you go weird, and then a boat. They actually got a boat
to be there.
That would be good. Delayed because they decided to take the canals to Molyneux.
They decided to row to there. A coach muck up, then may stay for the next one. And I just think that preparation, it will play a massive part. And I just would be fuming on both accounts if I was in that Arsenal team. Like, can we just have one normal game? Like, it's so embarrassing. Just one normal week where we can prepare on time and go out in the kit we want to play in and not have this like silliness surrounding us. And obviously Villa get that goal kind of very much against the run of play, and you think, oh my god, so we've had the Sox, the bus, and then they might lose to Aston Villa. And they came back against Aston Villa at the Emirates, they did it again, and you know, large parts of that second half they looked really good going forward. We had an iconic Blackstenius goal where she falls over completely flat on the floor, gets back up, and then nutmegs not one, not two, but three Aston Villa players, triple nutmeg into the back of the net. It was real Stina Blackstenius. iconic goal.
While being offside and handballing it.
Yeah, it was a great assist from her left hand, by the way, to set herself up.
It was just a classic. She just loves the drama. She's a performer.
It was a really funny goal. And I understand why, you know, if you're a Villa fan, you're annoyed, but I'm like, guys, you should have been about 5-1 down by that point anyway. Yeah. So, yeah, it's funny though, because I only got back in time for the second half. So I was pleased about the delay because it meant I'd be back in time. But I was like, I don't know what everyone's on, because obviously Twitter was like in meltdown. I was like, I don't know what everyone's on about. Arsenal look really good, because I hadn't watched the first half.
Ryan McGavick has asked Gilly, how sent off would Gilly have been if Blackstenius had scored that goal against her? Rachel Daly getting a booking, protesting that goal afterwards, and it was a shambolic decision not to spot the handball. How gone, how boiled would your noggin have been from that goal?
Well, I wouldn't have done what the Villa players done and stood there and just watch her fall, get up.
Oh, the delay in reaction.
Before you even move to go and close her down, because you're all too busy moaning about whatever.
Play to the whistle.
Exactly. So I would like to think if I was playing, that wouldn't have happened, because I'd have stopped it. But no, I reckon I would have. If that went in, I would have lost myself. I probably would have been sent off, 1,000,000%, because I'd have gone in the referee.
That's my girl. That's why Julie's my centre-back in my team, where you have to perform and train well. No days off. All cancelled.
No.
Even the bus driver's getting sacked now. Bus driver kit man out the door.
We're making everyone unemployed, mate.
Flo, you would have been driving that bus. No way you'd have hired someone else.
She'd have been changing the tire on the side of the road, mate. Get it on there.
Yeah.
Everyone lift the bus up, because I need to say it's wheel off.
Me and Kay McKay. Come on, lads, we can do it. We'll
I'd have the toolbox with me. I'd be like, I thought that just in case.
Come on, Julie, crank it up for me, would you? Yeah, we would have been on time.
I mean, in a weekend where a team that came off YouTube won silverware, maybe we need to start a counter press football team with you two.
Hey, hats off to whoever that Twitter user was. I'll try and find their username, but they killed me with that tweet that said, oh, it was ST Best. They'll be dancing in the streets of hashtag tonight. Obviously referencing hashtag United beating Newcastle at Kenilworth Road.
Very funny.
Very, very, very funny. Let's get back to the Villa-Arsenal game, though, because same situation with the Blackstenius goal, right? No one clears it because they're busy pissing about. Victoria Pullover's goal, the defending.
No, I need
an
investigation.
Oh, my God.
Because why is Jordan Knobbs passing to Arsenal in that position?
We did have some people on Twitter not very happy. Eden's Refulgent saying, Jordan Knobbs, is she corrupt? Question mark. Literally got Arsenal back in this game versus Villa. And I think, you know, we have to caveat with that Arsenal probably would have gone ahead and won the game anyway. But Villa's just utter head loss in that last sort of half an hour. They sort of lost the plot of how they managed the game. I know. They can't manage games at all.
They go ahead and they sit further and further back, but they don't play long. They carry on playing there, but they've moved so far back that the opposition can put as many players as they want in their half until eventually the opposition create a million chances because they're not good enough to not make errors like passing the ball straight to them.
Yeah,
so
the allegations were pretty hot on that. But to be fair to Lee, she made some good saves to stop Arsenal winning 7-1. But I think she deals with that goal really badly. And then the way that, like, I think it was Rachel Cause who just sort of watches Pullover take a touch, settle herself, and then finish. I'm like, is no one going to press her? You had also had time to clear it.
It's the same as Mary Earps with the second City goal when it is coming over towards Jess Park and she's just stood on her line. And I'm like, at least just move, do something to try and put someone off. But then it's like, everyone will just stand there. There was lots of standing around this weekend. and instead of standing around, it was even almost Erin's goal. I know it kind of comes over the West Ham player's head, but it felt like she had still had an age to sort of take it down. It's a great finish, but I was just like, I don't know, just move a little bit.
That art of defending, of closing down, is gone.
Mate,
it's gone.
I was about to say, you are sounding so like me in your defending is dead take there. No one closes down anyone anymore. Everything's going in slow motion. I couldn't agree with Chilly more.
It's gone,
so
mate.
Finally, we've persuaded you to believe that defending is dead.
I spent too much time with you two.
When you were saying that, I was like, Jesse's sounding so like me. Oh my God,
I've won. I did think it was this weekend. It felt particularly
bad refereeing, bad defending. It was, and actually,
Women's football, baby.
That is women's football, baby. And before we go, speaking of coming from an offside position for that first City goal, poor Sophia Smith lost that absolute screamer because who was her teammate that came from an offside position?
No, she was also offside.
Was she offside?
There was about three Portland players. I was like, this is awful that they're going to disallow this. And then they showed it and I was like, no, actually, you were all offside and it shouldn't count.
Yeah. But then who was the player that literally tracked in and moved inside to try and step out of the way, but there was still not an offside position
for
that second
was...
one? She had one goal that was really good, ruled out early on, then a second one, which was even better.
Yeah.
And then everyone thought that was going to be a goal finally, and then no. And then Gotham win 1-0. Esther Gonzalez, such a
what
troll.
Can you do?
I mean, it was a good weekend. We're not going to have time to talk about NWSL, but it was another good weekend, wasn't it?
It was a good weekend, yeah. What did I watch? I watched that one and I watched Chicago Red Stars. That was fun. I enjoyed that. Don't like the rain. No, not a fan of them.
They're kind of boring, aren't they?
Very boring. But lovely goal from G. So.
Julie, we haven't asked you actually. Are you backing an NWSL side? Do you have a favourite NWSL side?
Guys, I just really struggled to stay awake. But
I mean, story of my life, but you can watch it later on. That's what I'm doing.
Just support someone.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I did like Gotham because of their story that they had last year. Mm. You know, it was quite, that was cute. And I like Bay because obviously BT.
I thought you said Babe. I was like, no, new team.
I like Babe as well. No.
That could be the name of your team.
Yeah,
Babes FC.
Babes FC.
Yeah, no, I like Bay as well because of Beats, you know, cheering on our girl. But yeah, I'm just watching from afar.
Becky was saying she was regretting her elite. She's batting her eyelashes at Bay FC, I believe.
Oh, of course she would. I knew she would do that. She'd change in a heartbeat. She's such a glory supporter.
They lost, to be fair.
Yeah,
but
so did
San Diego.
Listen, I still back Wave to do well. We've got to back Casey Stoney all the way. That is all we got time for today. I just want to read out one last tweet that made me chuckle. Lou, we obviously talked about the Arsenal delay, but they said predictions on the kickoff delay for Arsenal's next match. I'm thinking Gunnosaurus goes on strike. We've got the Conti Cup on Sunday. There could be some Gunnosaurus action.
Also, a year since Gunnosaurus lost to Bridget in the dance-off, which was the real Conti Cup final, obviously.
The year anniversary of the dance-off.
Maybe we'll see them have a fight or something and that'll delay the game.
That would be so good. A Gunnosaurus-Bridget fight delays the Conti Cup final. Julie, are you going Conti Cup final?
No, Wolves? I'm not working on it, but I'm not going up to Wolves either. It's a little bit of a mission. But I'll watch it.
You're going.
I'm going. I'm
going to
that drive.
And Anfield, of all places. And I would have been able to go if they hadn't bloody, if the Liverpool game had not been moved from a Saturday to a Sunday. But now I can't do it all. I'm going to have to miss Conti Cup. But I am looking forward to
seeing...
The
Conti Cup will miss you.
Oh, thanks so much. Thanks so much, Mr. Conti. All right. See you guys on Wednesday at Stamford Bridge. For the Ajax game. Gonna be a laugh. We'll be talking about Wednesday night's second legs on Thursday's show, of course. Jilly, please get running.
I am. I'm going today.
Okay.
We will be
checking up on you. Jesse, you will be running.
I will be
You've
running.
You've got a bloody Boston Marathon on the horizon.
Gonna do 20 miles this afternoon.
I'm gonna
See?
Do 5K.
A true trainer.
What is that, 3 miles?
Yeah.
I'm only 17 behind you then.
All right, listener, we will see you on Thursday.